Today on Real Life Radio.
What are you doing for God? Think, how is that thing God is using to deal with your deformities? Because what you don't want to do is say, God, I can't obey your word because I have deformities. God says, in your weakness, serve me, and I will teach you something about yourself.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, When the Lord is Honored, Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, a physician, could have done it. Here, as we continue in chapter 6, Luke tells us that our main focus in life is to honor the Lord. You see, just as God is to be honored, we are to honor Jesus. He came down to earth to rescue us with his salvation and his healing, and to take back his authority as Lord of the Sabbath. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that what we believe is what we follow. But when our religion hurts people or uses and exploits people, just know for sure that it's not from God and doesn't come from a place of love. Now in his message called When the Lord is Honored, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Wow, glasses on or put your shoes on and be there right now for the moment. They're all there. The man's in the middle. He says, I want to ask you this one thing. Everyone's quiet. Yikes. There's no answer apparently whatsoever from the scribes and Pharisees. Silence. So in that silence, Jesus looks around at all of them. Scholars argue that he looked around at all of them who were Pharisees or all of them who were there. We don't know the answer. I like that. I like that we don't know the answer. He looked around at all of them. I think he looked around at all of them. And the Pharisees knew he was looking at them. And he looked around. And it was deliberate. Can you imagine? Just Jesus goes across. Stretch forth your hand. I love this, because the guy doesn't say, excuse me, can't do it, my hand's withered. No excuses. The man stretches out his hand, and it was his right hand, by the way, his hand of employment, hand of strength, the right hand. And it says it was as whole as the other hand. I don't know the Jesus you know, but my Jesus in the Bible, if he can restore a hand that's withered as whole as the other, can't he do other things? Oh, Jack, you go, Pastor Jack. You preach it. You encourage them all. You tell everybody how great God is and what he can do in all their lives. It's you I'm talking to. What about you? Well, yeah, he's awesome and great, but you see, my problems are personal. Yes, I know. That's why he's your personal savior. That's why he's your personal God. That's why he's knowable. He's so good. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus gave those marching orders 2,000 years ago. He hasn't rescinded those orders. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's how a man's restored until Jesus comes back in the great return of God. He's ministering to the word of God. He commissioned the church to go do this. And you are the church. You're the believers. Listen to Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, look at you. God says to you, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, even, listen, If anyone who has a complaint against another brother or sister, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do the same. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Boy, you want to sum it all up? Those Pharisees and scribes, they had no love. They had no love. You see, Jesus is bent on restoring our lives. It's also right that Jesus challenged our motives. And with this, we'll be done. Look at verse 11. But they were filled with rage. Can you believe these guys? And discussed, that is, talked it out among one another, what they might do to Jesus. This is true insanity. They watched what happened. Can you believe this? The guy's hand is normal in front of them. They were so filled with anger, they got together and they said, all right, how are we going to kill him? We got to kill him. We got to figure out a way to destroy this man, Jesus. How blind can people be? You say, Jack, that's pretty blind, man. Well, are you trusting Jesus today? Are you resting on Christ? Are you giving your life's issues to God? Am I? How blind can we be? Filled with rage. The word filled is the word pletho, or where we get the word plethora. To be under the influence of, or to be under the supply of, to be filled or overwhelmed by a power. Very great. It's very, very large, big in amount or scope. They are not upset. They are filled to the top of their head with rage. And this word rage, you know this word, it's from the Greek. You know it in the English, anoia. They were so annoyed, filled with rage. This word meaning to be brought to the place of so angry that, listen, you act stupid, you act ignorant, there's a madness, there's an illogic, there's a folly about you. You're so, that you go off in this rage and you fall over yourself and crash your car or something nutty. You blow up. Stretch forth your hand. The guy's healed. You could see the yarmulke spinning off the top of their head. The steam's coming out of their ears. Their eyeballs are turning red. They're grinding their teeth. And they look to each other. What are we going to do about him? How about believing him? Amen. Everybody wants to argue about Jesus. Why don't you just give up? And believe in him. Calm down. Put your head back in your skull and calm down. And this man who was deformed was healed. And as I wrote these things down, for me personally, God would have me to look at the deformity of my life. See, until you and I make it to heaven, we're all deformed in some way, shape, or form. And I don't care about the physical, mental, or emotional side of it at this moment. Does my physical imperfection speak of spiritual imperfections in my life? It's a strong man or woman today that can say in their mind right now, because God is listening, Lord, will you speak to me about my deformities? Lord, I'm inviting you to talk to me. Are you possessive? Are you angry? Are you on the throne? Are you demanding things? I want to know, and I want to be, and I've got to have. Deformity. I love reading the Psalms because I see a man whose heart's after God, David, but a man who's capable of anything at any moment. If you do not see yourself like that, with King David in the book of Psalms, then you too are blind. You have the power this morning in all kinds of ways to reach over and stroke the hand of somebody and comfort them. I mean, you better know them. Just don't grab the strangers. You get a black eye that way. But please, really, I'm almost done. Listen, you're going to leave here today and words are going to come out of your mouth. And what you say will either speak deformity or healing. And how you say it, it's going to come out. Lord, I am deformed. So then the next question God had me write down between him and I personally, Jack, you ask me now, how can your deformity glorify me? Really? Yeah. That's right. You are God. You are the one who restores. You are the Redeemer. Lord, how can my weaknesses, how can my failure, how can my, the thing that I want to complain about me, you want me, Lord, to give to you to bring you glory. I've often shared with you that God has delivered me light years away from a very bad temper. I'm not even the same human being. But when I look back over the years and I see what God has delivered me from, don't tell me that God is willing to change each and every one of us. Or whatever it is. Fear, maybe some have. Phobias, terror, anxiety, need, needy. God says, I'm there. Then he had me ask this of myself, will I ever escape my deformity, God? His answer is, I'm working in you, Jack, right now. I will not forsake the work of my hands in your life. But you know the Bible, Jack. You know my word. You will not be ultimately delivered until the day I call you home. Well, that's very encouraging. That gives me hope. Then the thought came into my mind, what if Jesus chooses not to heal me? Gee, what if it's a cross I must bear in my life every day? I'm starting as I get older to realize that the cross that I bear in my life is that wonderful, beautiful thing, though it be rugged and bloody, I'm learning to embrace it because it's what God uses in my life, in your life, to keep us humble in front of his works. Because if that cross is not being carried, then your head is going to get pumped up. Or you're going to come out of your job or your company saying, look at this mighty kingdom I have built. Watch out. You may be a doctor and you walk out of an office and say, I just saved this man from certain death. Watch out. I can't tell you this man's name, but it was an all-time classic. It was at a pastor's conference. It was truly an awesome moment. How do we know? Because he confessed it. What did he say? Ooh, what did he say? He got up and he gave a message, and as he was getting near the end of his message, he thought in his mind, this is the best message given at this conference. That's what he said in his head. Nobody knew that. He said it in his head. And the host of the conference came up, and as he was, thank you, people are clapping, going, oh, that was awesome! The conference host comes up and says, that was truly a great message. And in his mind, thank you very much. And he fell right off the stage, flat on his face. And it wasn't till later that he said, I got news for you guys. As I approached the end of that message, I said in my mind, this is the best message of this conference. And gentlemen, he said, pride comes before a fall. God knows. He can take and choose not to heal me, not to heal you, not to heal us. Could I be using, listen, this one hurts. Could I be using my, quote, deformity as an excuse to just sit in the crowd? Could that be going on in my life? God, I can't get involved. I can't help out in church. I can't serve you. I can't obey you, Lord. Surely you're giving me a pink slip because you know I'm scared. Did you know that timidity is a sin? You need to repent of that. It's from a lack of faith. timidity. I thought timidity was cute. No, it's a sin. Oh, God, you know, I'd love to get involved, but I don't like to shake hands with people. Get over it. What kind of an excuse is that? What if God says, man, you know what, Susie, I wanted to use you in your life. I wanted you to go pray for people. I wanted you to lay hands on them and pray for them, but you were afraid of germs. Imagine, what is it for you? What is it for me? Am I using my deformity to keep me from serving God and His people? Let me put it to you like this. What are you doing for God? Think. How is that thing God is using to deal with your deformities? Because what you don't want to do is say, God, I can't obey your word because I have deformities. God says, in your weakness, serve me, and I will teach you something about yourself and show you my power in and through you. In your weakness, the power will come from me, and I alone, Jack, will get the glory. And you'll know among all people on the planet, it is not of you, it's of me, saith the Lord. See, you're going to choose to do that or not. I'm just going to sit in the midst. Just going to sit in the crowd. My hands withered. Jesus is speaking to some of you, if not all of us. Stand up and get in the middle. Stand up, Christian, and get in the flow. Get up and get in the battle. There's a war raging. We don't need Christians on the sidelines saying, go, Christians out there, go, go. Shoot them. Shoot. Sword, shield, fight that devil, slay that dragon. You go. We are the Christian cheerleaders on the sidelines. Go, you Christian soldier. Onward, Christian soldier, while we sit here and pamper ourselves. See, Jack, what are you challenging us to do? Pray. Ask somebody. Can I pray for you next week? Get their names. Yes, the person sitting next to you. Get their name. I wish. And I wonder what would happen if God would somehow say to us, hey, psst, Calvary, psst, listen. I'm going to come back next Tuesday at 3:14 in the afternoon. 3:14 in the afternoon, next Tuesday. No, okay, Jack, no man knows the day or the hour. I know that. I'm making this up. What if you knew Jesus was coming back next Tuesday at 3:14? What would you do? Oh, man, I would tell my husband about Jesus. I would tell my neighbors. I would then do it because Jesus could come back today. You see, it may be we're all hiding behind deformities when Jesus says, stand up. And Jesus makes of this man a masterpiece of ministry. He wants to do that with me. You know what? If I don't mess it up, church, I want to make this statement to you. If I don't mess that up, that's what he's going to do with me. If I just stay out of it and simply say, Lord, do what you want to do with me. Say it, I'll do it. Then it's going to be an exciting life. And very gratifying, very fulfilling. And I will leave behind me a wake. And people will either be blown over by it, crashed and beaten against the shore with it, or they'll be surfing or kneeboarding on it. Blessed or bummed? What do you leave behind? Let's make sure that we honor our God in all that we think, say, and do. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that we would not just be hearers, but Lord, that by your wonderful power, in fact, Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to propel us now into this world. Lord, I know that over the doorways of this church, on your way out, it says that we are entering the mission field. So Lord, as we go to breakfast or to lunch or to the beach or wherever we're going this day, if we go home and sit in quiet meditation, may we honor you, Lord, with every breath. May we be very conscious of the fact that you are the eternal God, alive and ever before us. There's nothing hidden from your eye, and there's nothing silent, Lord, to your ears. Lord, when we hear you say in that still, small voice, get up and stand here, that you are about to do a great thing in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called When the Lord is Honored, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So this is one of those times I get to sit down in the studio with my good friend, Pastor Jack. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good?
I'm doing good, David.
You're doing good, and for the same reason that I'm doing good. It's Christmas. We're coming up on Christmas. Isn't it great?
Yeah, more sweeter now than maybe ever with the way the world is going, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Christmas, just, and if it's just, it's not that it's Christmas as a day.
Yeah.
It's about all that it represents, the fact that for the believer, Christ coming means something to us every day of the year.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, and so today's one of those days, or Christmas is that time of the season where the world has got to stop and consider. They either believe in him or they don't, but it's an awesome time.
Yeah, it is too.
Yeah.
Call me crazy, but at this time of year, I feel like we've come to the end of another race. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Absolutely. I mean,
it seems like, oh, good, we've done it. Because we started out the year with, you know, a great attitude and great plans, and some come about and some don't. What would you say this time of year as an encouragement to our Real Life Radio listeners?
I think what I would say is that, and you're right, it's the end of the year and it's the beginning of a new year. I have to say personally that over the last this would be the third year now, on January 1st, where I can bear testimony to the fact that what I thought would be really awesome to see God do, wouldn't it be amazing if he succeeded all those things? So I would encourage you guys this way, that Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So I would expect God to do things in your life, my life, that is beyond description. I want God to move in my life in such a way where I cannot explain it.
Yeah.
He's been doing that, so I expect him to keep doing it so long as I stay out of the way, right?
That's true.
And so I'm thrilled. As a pastor, the type of ministry that we're involved in, it's literally nonstop. My body is so fatigued. I'm physically thrashed,
right,
from so much ministry and stuff, and all of the stuff that surrounds it. But please, none of you, don't feel sorry for me, and don't say, "Oh, you need to take a rest." I mean, I do need to take a rest. My point is this: you can get so caught up in what you're doing that you are tired, body, soul, and spirit, or you can do what God has called you to do and be tired physically, but your spirit and your soul can be renewed daily.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at. And that's where we ought to be at, I do believe, because though my outward man's perishing, the Bible says our inward man is being renewed. And I think the one-year Bible experience, if you've never done it before, friend, join us on January 1st. Get your copy. Get it ready. And just know this, that when you sit down to your cup of coffee or your lunch or your dinner and you open it up, just know that there are literally tens of thousands of believers that have joined you in that discovery that day. It's absolutely awesome.
And literally on the same page, right?
Absolutely.
So you can pick up your copy of the 1 Year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.